So 2 Timothy chapter 3, we got a few verses I want to read. And verse 1 is, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." I see that at Walmart a lot, although I don't go to Walmart a lot, but I do see that. "Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." I've seen it where Christians, or you know, real Christians, aren't looked on too kindly by the world. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Isn't that most of Christianity today? Is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this book, most especially. And, you know, I really am the least of all that should get up and preach before people. But I thank you for the privilege of doing that. I pray that you'd help me to get across what you'd have here for us tonight. Lord, in a lot of ways and in a lot of areas, there are times we are lacking power in our lives, the power of God, the power of Christ, and so forth, and we desperately need it. And of course, that comes, the foundation is our fellowship with Thee. I pray that you'd bless, fill me with your Spirit, and I pray that this would be a blessing to your people here tonight. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a lot of things in the last week that had me thinking about this sermon. And here in verse 5, it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And so, denying the power thereof. I was just with Brother Joseph, visitation yesterday, and had a few people that this verse really hit home. The first man I came across, he was working on his deck, so he's on a ladder, and I'm looking up at him, and he took the track. It was great. Said he was Catholic. Said he went to, St. Augusta or whatever it was. And then he brought up, I can't remember the exact words, but it was along the lines of believing in God the Mother. Anyways, he had said that he had been going to this church for 40 years. And I'm sitting there thinking, perfect. I mean, this is the perfect fruit, right? And I just said, God's not female. He's male. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says so. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost is male, okay? It's not that hard. Needless to say, the conversation didn't go too well, but what was interesting to me, this is the first time I ever heard. I mean, it wasn't as bad as you can imagine. But he told me, he goes, "Women rule the world." And I looked at him, and I'm just sitting here. He said it like he liked it. And I said, I don't doubt that. I go, but it is a curse of God on the world, And listen, I love women. I know it seems like every time I get up here, something like that happens. But so it's just interesting to me. And that got me thinking about the power of God and how we end up forfeiting, we as Bible believers sometimes in our lives end up forfeiting the power of God. And I'll tell you this, when I first got saved, because of Liz's brother, my wife's brother, we ended up going to a charismatic church. We were in charismatic churches for like 4 years. And there was a lot about the power of God there. You know, getting prayed over, the power of God coming down, flopping around like a piece of bacon, power of God, power of God. You know, I felt power coming out my arms. Boy, the Holy Ghost was there and all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Really, in reality, the Bible does speak about the power of God. And we need the power of God in our lives in order to do the things and to for God to bless us. And here in this verse, I have a few things I'd like to preach on. I don't want to go too long here tonight, but that probably usually happens. But it says here in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now, you can go to most of quote-unquote Christianity today is a form of godliness. It's just ritual. And, you know, they may not know it, but they're rejecting the power of God. And they're rejecting it by their ritual. I was talking to another gentleman. The conversation, for the most part, went well until the very end. And he was a veteran and kind of tried to build like a you know, relationship with him through that. And he was in the Air Force. So I said, you know, I was in the Marine Corps, so I forgive you, you know, but that's okay. But it was interesting because he kept saying, I could tell through the conversation he was Lutheran. And he kept saying, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. And I said, that's great. I go, but what do you believe in? You know, you got to believe on something. You can't just believe. Life is not a Walt Disney movie. Just believe. In, I think, John chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus Christ said, you believe on me, and the new versions take out on me. Yeah. Just believe. If you believe hard enough, what is that? And I was talking to him and trying to, I said, well, I get it. And he said, we read the Bible every day. I said, that is great. But then he, you know, I was trying to draw some things out of there because he was very confident he was going to heaven. And I'm like, this is really sad. And sometimes, contrary to popular opinion, I don't like sitting there arguing with people. So I'm trying to draw it, and I said, well, you know, in the Bible, do you offer a sheep when you sin anymore? He says, well, no. I go, that's the Bible. But what happened is the Lord Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled all that, and you got to believe on him. Out of all the times he said, I believe, he never said what he believed in, never said he believed on Jesus Christ, ever. Well, then I tried going because I knew he was coming. I said, listen, I said, you know, it's salvation is not through a baptism. It's not through confirmation, not through any of that. I go, the thief on the cross. Amen. I go, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Unless you have a Jehovah's Witness Bible, then they move the comma. But, And I said, that man did not get baptized. And he said, how do you know? And I said, he died. How do you know he wasn't baptized as a baby? I mean, that's what he said. And in the end, he said, I want you to leave. And I said, okay. Fortunately, I'm pretty sure that's kind of how it went. Is that kind of how it went? So fortunately, everyone that, you know, we left, actually kept the track. So you can pray that they actually read the track and it affects them. But there is a lot of rituals out there. I used to hate going to Catholic funerals. Actually, not used to, I still do. But when I was a kid, I just hated it. I hated the incense. You know, one time I think I left my great uncle's funeral because I just got sick of that incense smell. And I'm like, I'm just sick of it. Now, I was an altar boy, and so I thought I was pretty holy when I was doing that, you know. But it's just all ritual. It means nothing. There is no power in ritual. It's just show. And the regeneration power that comes from the Bible, this incorruptible seed, they reject. And so they deny having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, there are a lot of saved Christian churches, you could say, that deny the power. They deny it. And there's a lot of form and tradition, even in fundamental Baptist churches. And you got to watch out for that. But listen, the first line of connecting with the power of God is you need to be born again. We were talking to a guy yesterday, and he said, we're saved by the grace of God. And I said, yes, we are. We are born again by the grace of God. Well, I don't believe that. Like, okay. He kept the track, but what can you do? You can't make people believe. But people say, we heard people say, well, I listened to my church. My church taught me this. My priest taught me this. My pastor said, so. Listen, in there's some of these mega churches. Listen, one of my sisters, I don't know if she goes now, but she was going to Eagle Brook out there in Woodbury. And I said, and you know, there was, I don't know, 1,000 people or so in that church at least. And I said, out of that many people, I go, how many people brought their Bibles? Four? What do you need a Bible for? They'll fling that. You know. Listen, you need a Bible in your lap so that you can follow what's being read. So one time, this was a while ago, years ago, I just said, I'm going to listen to this guy preach. Well, it wasn't preaching, but there was a couple things just in the 15 minutes I listened. I'm like, well, he's wrong about that. He's wrong about that. He read that wrong. And they don't know. They don't have a Bible in their lap. And there's a lot of form out there, but denying the power thereof. They talk about it, but they are rejecting the power. And it comes from, go to 1 Thessalonians. It doesn't say anything about power here, but it definitely is based on power. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for this cause, it's a familiar verse, especially to a Bible believer. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There is power there. A lot of Christianity today and the lost world around us is forfeiting the power of God because they don't receive this book as the words of God. They receive it as the words of men. And you got to watch out for it. Just like that one guy. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says so. And if you don't have a Bible to compare it to, well, you just believe whatever you want. Well, I think God's this way, and I believe this, and I believe God wouldn't do that. And that's all fine and dandy. But when a man, you know what this guy did? He said, men wrote the Bible. And I said, yeah, technically men wrote the Bible, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he was mad because those same men that wrote this Bible, and it's not really true anyway, they rejected like the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and all that. And I'm like, where is this guy? I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I get it. There's a billboard on Germain as you're heading into town off of Highway 10, and it's a big one of Mary saying, pray for us sinners, Mary, Mother of God. You know, and I've been up there for a while. I've lived up there. It is basically a Catholic town, but that's the first time I've seen a billboard like that. This is where you get the idea that God is a mother. God is not a mother. He's a father. He may act like a nursing mother as a father, but he is a father. And you know what it produces when you don't receive this book, or really the Bible as the words of God, it produces apathy. Amen. I don't really care. Yeah. And you come across that quite a bit. If you talk to anybody, and I've talked to a lot of saved people too, that have an apathy when it comes to the book. And listen, this is the words of God. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here, but most of the world, Christian world, saved Christian world around us, they have an apathy for the Bible. They don't care that it's corrected. And this is a deal too, as Bible believers, if we don't do what the Bible says, well, at least in that part, we're just kind of relegating it to the level as the words of men. Because to us, if we're not obeying it, it's just it doesn't really matter. Oh, I believe it's the words of God. I know there was a guy I went to high school with, and he actually ended up here before I did. And then he left before I came. I ended up meeting him or coming across him in a providential way. And he was just living a couple miles from here at that time. And one of the things he said, I mean, his life was a mess. And one of the things he said, I still believe the King James Bible. And I'm like, I said, it really, on a certain level, doesn't matter if you don't follow it. I mean, apathy. It's just, we want to do what we want to do. That verse about, for all we like sheep have gone astray, I know doctrinally that's to Israel, but really, in a lot of ways, that could be a lot of Bible believers, even us personally, that we know, sometimes we just like to go our own way. And this leads into apostasy. I don't usually play the Greek game, but I thought this was interesting when I was first shown this. If you go to Matthew 19 and verse 7, and let's see. And in Matthew 19, verse 7, they're trying to trap Jesus Christ once again, which they never could do. But in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Just talking about divorce. And it goes into other things here. But that writing of divorcement, the Greek there is biblion, and I don't know how or why it shows up that way, but it's biblion apostasion. So apostate Bible. Kind of interesting. And there are a lot of people that would say, well, that man went apostate, so he never really was saved. No, no. There are a lot of people who are saved that go apostate, right, that leave a standing position, a good standing position, and leave it. One of the things about this is preaching. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, familiar verse. We use this for street preaching at times, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The words of God are the power of God. If you don't believe the book the way you ought, listen, what Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And this book has power. The preaching, it says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. There's a reason why when you're trying to get the gospel out or you're preaching on the street, people think it is just way out there beyond foolish. Now, I was just preaching this morning about, I mean, you look at people in sports, the fans, the fanatics, and what they do, and what they do to root for their team, and the sports athletes themselves, and what they do, and what they sacrifice to give up so they can be the best. But when it comes to Christianity, that's foolish. The sad thing is I know when there's some places I worked, when I worked at Ford, there were Christians there, and these weren't. Like high-level Christian, let's just say, they didn't like the fact that I actually witnessed to people. They didn't like the fact that I tried to show people that without Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. Well, it's a little harsh. And these people were saved. I was preaching or giving the gospel to a man there, and there was a guy who was saved. And that guy who was saved ended up hindering me giving that man the gospel. I ended up telling him to shut up. You say, that's not very Christian. Yeah, it is. What he was doing is sending that guy to hell. So what he needed to do was shut up. But it's interesting to note that that guy that I was witness to ended up getting saved. He ended up coming here. He came here for a couple of years. And you all knew him as Mike Barton. I witnessed to him for over a year. And there were some interesting conversations. But eventually, he ended up getting saved. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. These kids standing there, I am not ashamed. Send the light, send the light. I just love that. I love it, little kids. Grabbing a hold of that and then continuing on. And to hear, you know, about the teens grabbing a hold of it. And then continuing on. Moving on and moving on up over to the east side. Yeah, I know some probably don't even know what that is. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, here it says in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When you don't receive this book as the words of men, the preaching goes away and it ends up here. For the time will come when they not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is most of Christianity today. How do you know? I was in it. I experienced it. I saw it. I saw a lot of saved people heading right back to Rome. And it's sad. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Why? Because the pastors that they sit under correct the book and treat the book like it's the words of men. So why should I believe it? Why should I take it seriously? I ended up, there is a guy at work where I work now, and he goes to a big, the Grace Church up there, or whatever it is, and he is a leader in that church, like one of the deacons. And he was going through their two-year associate degree program, so he is pretty proud that he made it through. And I haven't talked to him much, but I ended up going to day shift, and all of a sudden I was in their shop, and he's sitting there, and I was looking for somebody else, but then all of a sudden out of the blue he starts talking to me, and that's fine. And so he pulls out his chew and puts it in his mouth as he's swearing and everything else, and he's going to tell me how he just got his associate degree in biblical studies. And I'll tell you, at that point, I'm like, oh. But what I did do is I brought up the Bible. I said, well, what Bible do you believe? Well, I use, I grew up, I prefer. No, I didn't ask that. But I did, I brought up, I said, would you be interested in, you know, looking at some information, a little track on, I go, there's differences. I go, it makes a difference. And then, of course, you know, most people, most Christians, I think he's saved. Just apathy. But he did take, the Lord worked it out where he was alone because I didn't want to hand it in front of people. It wouldn't have worked out well. Got to hand it to him, and he doesn't talk to me too much anymore. So it could be a blessing in disguise, you know. But I really do hope that my desire is that people grab a hold of the book. I know Brother Jonathan, he's witnessing to somebody at his work or associated with his work. Same thing. He's saved, and he sees some things wrong with the Christianity that is in today. And I'll tell you, it's a blessing to me. The first 4 or 5 years of my Christianity, I mean, the Lord had to bring things my way, and there I am. and I'm going long on this point, but there I am in the charismatic church telling people about the King James Bible. And I can tell you that went over very well. I had a guy one time, I can't remember if I probably, I don't know if I brought up this before here or not, but we were going to this Vineyard Christian Fellowship in the auditorium of the Brooklyn Park Technical College, That pastor there decided, because what they used to do was they would sing rock and roll for about a half an hour or so, and then they give classes, like John Trent's class on relationships or Larry Burkett's class on finances. But then the Lord kind of convicted him. He said, you know, I think I want to start preaching, teaching you guys. Maybe. And so the first day he does it, he's teaching on the deity of Christ. And he says, does anybody have a verse? I said, I got a verse. And I said, 1 Timothy 3:16. And I read it. God, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And you know, most people there, you know, that's, you could tell it's not my, it's not my. And I ended up bringing up, I got a chance to do another one, 1 John 5:7. You know, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Well, that's completely out. I'm reading that, and people are looking. They're looking around. They're like, what in the world? You know, and then it got, just a couple minutes later, I raised my hand. I said, I got another verse. No, not you. Yeah. And so afterwards, I went up and talked to him, and he took a, you know, a blank sheet of paper at the little pulpit they had, turned it over, took a pen, put a dot on it. So there's this white, and there's a little dot. And he said, what do you see? And I said, I see that dot. And he said, that is your problem. You are too critical. And I looked at him, and I said, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. Like, we're not supposed to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. But this is where it leads. And the preaching that's out there is not preaching. Listen, you keep going here, because there's not very many churches like this that is trying to do something for the Lord and stand on the book. Anyways, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I got to get moving here. And if I faint, hey, Jonathan, can you come up and just keep going? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, we'll start with this one. But this says, that I may know him, this is, of course, of the Apostle Paul, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So here, there's the power of the resurrection. And Jesus Christ didn't just rise from the dead so he could save you. He rose from the dead so that you could walk in newness of life. I'll go there in a second. So that sin would not have dominion over you. We'll go to Romans chapter 6, and then we'll get back into that. Romans chapter 6 is an excellent passage of Scripture for the Christian life, the crucified life. There's a book out there by L.E. Maxwell, Born Crucified. And here it is. Look at verse 3, Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. This baptism is spirit baptism. Has nothing to do with water. I don't have time to go into that this morning. But there is no water around in here anywhere. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says that by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. And so here you are buried with him by baptism, that spirit baptism into death. That's the baptism that saves. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So when a saved person continues to serve sin, he doesn't lose his salvation. But I can tell you this, his Father in heaven is disappointed. That fellowship is broken, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. So you're dead, But you're alive from the dead, so you live like it. And your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. And it says, because we are not under the law, but under grace. Isn't that interesting? We're not under the law, but sin shouldn't have dominion over you. Resurrection power here is refused, and thereby forfeiting the power of God. Self becomes priority. One of the signs that Paul writes, the first thing that he writes is a sign of the perilous times, is men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that is what you see all around us. And as Bible believers, we have to fight that. We have to fight. A lot of the problems that we have is because we focus on ourselves and lift up ourselves. Not only that, suffering is passed by. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Those sufferings are connected with the power of his resurrection. You know this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I don't like this. I have my certain things I struggle with. You all have your things that you struggle with. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I mean, Paul's trying to get rid of it, and he's praying for it, and he must not have had enough faith. But it says here, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for me. God tells him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I mean, that's higher ground. I mean, you'll glory in your infirmities, so because you want the power of Christ resting on you. And one another thing about this resurrection power refused, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And it says, talking about Jesus Christ, he's declared, Romans 1, 4, he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know, he had, there was, a lot of the Jews believed in a resurrection of the dead, but Jesus Christ came from the dead. And you will come, if you are in Jesus Christ, you're going to come from the dead. And he rose from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. And this is, you know, this sanctity, not only is self a priority today and suffering has passed by, and that's a hard thing. You want to have glory in eternity? Suffering is to be partaked in. And I'm not saying, listen, God will give you, he'll give you. You don't have to look for it. And if you want patience, just pray for it. But the sanctity is lacking in Christianity today. And I've seen it even in some Bible-believing churches. It's like, you know, holiness of life should be a priority for the Bible-believing Christian. I don't understand. It's not that hard. And if you do not at least try to live a holy life, well, you're forfeiting the power of God. You're forfeiting that resurrection power that is available to each and every one here who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I mean, it can be a sad thing. I've seen, even in this church, over the years, people have come and people have gone. At Lion of Judah, people have come, people have gone. And it's just the way of life. In Acts chapter 1, go there. And of course, this is Jesus Christ with his disciples, and he's getting ready to ascend. And in verse 8, he tells them, but ye shall receive power. You know, you have the Holy Ghost, for power, not to speak in tongues and not to heal people and all that stuff. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And he's going to come back the same way. He's going to come back in clouds, Revelation 1. And so we're forfeiting the power of God when we reject that power. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. When we receive this book, or act like we receive this book as the words of men, when the resurrection power that's available to us is refused, and we're reticent with the gospel, we hold it back. And I'll tell you, it happens to each and every one of us. The Lord will say, hey, give that guy a track that you're walking by. There was a Somali man that I was walking up to at the gas station, and I was just going to go walk in. And I thought, well, if I give him a track, it's just a waste, right? But the Lord's like, no, give him the track anyway. I mean, he took it. If in the end he rejects the truth, that track is a witness. It's a witness. There are those here whose personality is not to talk to people, not to witness. I believe you should. But I'll tell you this, tracks are great. Tracks you could just hand to people. Here. You know... You ever go to the bathroom in a public bathroom? Just string the track right there on the wheelchair little bar. Just sing it there. Next person that goes in, you could put a track in. If you ever go to the bank now, and nobody really does anymore, but we kind of do because old habits are just hard to die, you know. But most people, it's all on the phone. But think about going to the bank, putting in a track in the little tube after as you leave, and then the next person gets a track. And they say, who put this in there? You know? And then they call a church, somebody left a track. Yeah, that was me. You got a problem with it? No. Oh, one time, this was years ago, there was a couple, they were out on visitation with us, and they went here for a long time. They're not here anymore, but they gave out All I Had No Son to. And of course, pastor was gone, Brother Grissom was gone, I think you were gone. And so I had to take the call, and it's this lady. Oh, she was like that. Oh, I just got this track. And she was a black lady who became a Muslim. And she goes, I'm so afraid to go out of my neighborhood now that these tracks are being passed out. And I just like, it took a lot not to laugh, but I was like, you know what you can do? I said, you can make up a track on your own, refuting the track that you just got in the door, and then go to your neighbors and hand it out. That's what you can do. She didn't like that idea. She just, I'm like, oh, whatever. Just like these kids were singing, you don't keep your light under a bushel. In Matthew chapter 5, familiar verse, I mean, this is Sunday school stuff for the kids. It says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. I always thought about that. Why would you light a candle and put it under a bushel? Because I'm pretty sure that bushels back then weren't steel. So I'm guessing it would burn up. I don't know. And then you'd have a really big light. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I know there's a lot to that, but we have the light of the truth, just like the kids were singing. And listen, if you're afraid to talk, again, you can hand out tracts. You can hand out John Romans. You can go on a missions trip, Campaigns for Christ, hand out John Romans. It really is... Not very confrontational. You're just sitting there, just handing out stuff. And then after 2 hours, you're like, are we done yet? Joseph and I had my grandson Mason with us, and we walked to the very end of the block, and I gave the women mainly most of the women, you know, they didn't have to walk as far because I think about those things. But Mason, after a little bit, are we almost done? And I'll tell you, these kids are trained to hand out tracts. I mean, they hand out tracts. They love handing out tracts. No, let me get in there, you know. Sometimes they just grab tracts on the shelf, and it could be a tract that has nothing to do with the person. But I'm like, praise the Lord. The Lord can use whatever that is. And, you know, and it's just, I just love it. My daughter, Stephanie, I mean, we had her in the stroller, and she was 6 months old at, you know, going out street preaching, and she just stick out her hand out of the carriage of the track. I hope you're not embarrassed. But one thing about it, if you know, thinking about, and you know this verse in Matthew chapter 9, this is Jesus Christ looking around about him with compassion. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad having as sheep having no shepherd. Now, we have the world around, most of the world around us is lost. And they are really, in a sense, as sheep, they have no shepherd. Man, a lot of the saved people really have no shepherd. So one of the things, listen, if you are reticent with the gospel, if you hold the gospel back, you're putting your light under a bushel and your love is not manifested. The love that should be manifested to a lost world around us. And I'll tell you this, it could be week after week after week of knocking on doors and you see nothing. But if you want to see the power of God, you get out there week after week after week after week, and you will see the power of God. It doesn't happen all the time. Now, if you go on a Campaigns for Christ trip to Malawi, it's a little different. I mean, this is America, and we're so inundated with material things that God just isn't that high on our list of priorities. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. You are forfeiting the power of God, of experiencing the power of God and what he can do in the lives of people if you are reticent with the gospel. Oh, I gotta get there. And I only have 2 points left. I want to get done here pretty quick. I've already been preaching longer than I probably should have, but in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, but then Brother Daniel, he preached a long time too down there, so that's okay. So in 1 Corinthians 2, 5, Paul writes that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In James 3, verse 15, I'm not going to go there, it calls this wisdom of men sensual, devilish, earthy. It's from the god of this world, and you have to watch out for that. Over here in chapter 1, verse 21, the first part of the verse says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to get much. You know, I would say that if you're going to college for a specific thing, as in something technical or something like that, you're not going to get much with women's studies or LGBTQ plus studies or whatever else they have there. And they have, you know, you'll get a lot of understanding of the truth. You take a class in philosophy 101, you know, you'll get a lot there. A lot of what we deal with nowadays is sensual. It's there. If you rest in the wisdom of men, you are forfeiting the power of God. Look at 2 Peter real quick, chapter 1. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Why is it that Christians don't go to the book with their problems and their issues? Why is it that we go to a world and we listen to the world's wisdom in telling us how to behave or telling us how to correct our behavior that we want corrected, whatever that may be? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's this book. In 2 Timothy verse or chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And that's not talking about the fear of God. Do you know the world wants you afraid of stuff? Even the Christian world. I mean, just go read some prophecy guy or this guy or that guy. You know, this is coming. That's coming. This is coming. That's so what? You know, even you could say the regular MSM, the mainstream media, they just want to put fear in you. Fear, 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 fear. But you know what? So does the conservative news media, just on a different level. And you got to watch that because you're resting in the wisdom of men, and that will, in doing that, you're going to forfeit the power of God. You know, I heard that AOC was upping her battle against capitalism. She's going to write only in lowercase letters from now on. So I think that's a good thing. But, you know, I spent, and I'm not going to get too deep into this, but I spent many a year as a teenager, I would take my dad to the VA hospital because my dad was a little loopy. And they didn't have a clue what they were doing. They put him on this drug, they put him on that drug. He was on a certain drug for years, then he got poisoned by that drug. Then you know what they actually did? We had a family meeting, and we're there, you know, in a meeting room in the middle of the psych ward, the VA hospital, and the doctors are there, and it's, you know, because it used to be, because they don't know what they're doing. It's kind of like caffeine. Caffeine's bad for you, caffeine's not bad for you. Circumcising little boys is bad? Oh, no, it's good. No, no, it's bad. No, it's... So then, this is, listen, my dad went through electric shock treatment. So what we're going to do is we're going to apply shock, just hook him up to a battery, apply shock to him. This will help rebalance the imbalanced chemicals in his brain. Can you prove to me any test that shows that he has imbalanced chemicals in his brain? I'll tell you this. When I was a teenager, I had a lot of imbalanced chemicals in my brain. I mean, when I popped LSD and other things, that imbalanced the chemical. I mean, what do you, you know, and so I told him, I sat there at the table and some of my family, my siblings are there, and I said, "You guys don't have a clue what you're doing." Well, if you don't want to sit here and, it's like, you got to be kidding. Do you know how many times I've been shocked as an electrician? Has it helped? I mean, what in the world? I mean, seriously. So shocking a person doesn't help, and it's barbaric, and now it does. There's a lot of stuff out there. Do you know, if you've ever read Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, Maslow, and all these people that Christian psychologists follow, Christian psychologists, oxymoron. You got to watch out too for, there's churches out there that do biblical counseling. And a lot of that biblical counseling is just plain sin. But I got to, so I'm like a priest in a confessional asking questions about deep, dark sins and secrets. And you see how the priest showed up or turned out. See, there's a lot of truth to that. But in the Bible, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." It's the only Bible that has sound mind in it. I would say, get the Bible words in you. It will change some things. My family, some of my family still think I'm nuts. So it is what it is. Last but not least, go to Ephesians chapter 6. You are going to forfeit the power of God if you remove the armor that he has given you. And I'm just going to do this very quickly. You see here in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, and this passage has been went through in so many ways, and I'm sure if you read the book, you've read through it and studied on it. But it says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." It says, put on the whole armor of God. And you are going to forfeit the power of God if you start taking that armor off. There are a lot of deserters in the battle. The battle gets it starts wearing on you. I understand that. I fully understand. There's times in my Christian walk that I could tell you, there's times that it's like, well, you know, if I just quit, I can't. And then it's like, Lord, I don't want to desert. In Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 14, saying no, but we will go in the land of Egypt. You know, the Israelites, they would go up to Jeremiah and they say, hey, can you do me a favor? I mean, you talk to God. So you pray to God, you get some words from God, and you come tell us, and we will do what God says through you. So he does that, and they'll say, no, we're not going to do that. It's kind of like Joshua in Joshua 24. He says, you don't have to go there, but he's talking about choose you this day whom ye will serve. And the Israelites are like, and he says, get rid of those gods. Get rid of them. And the people answered, said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You know, nowhere in that passage did they say they were going to put away those gods. And after all of this, and Israel saying, no, we love the Lord, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord. What in the world? I mean, I think it's just funny. And here, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And they died down there in Egypt. You want to go back to the world? Man, you are going to die spiritually. Where we shall see no war. You don't think so? Yeah, just leave and see. Listen, the battle still goes whether you're here or not. Don't remove your armor. You're forfeiting the power of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, Saul and his sons are dead. And along come the Philistines. They see him dead. You know what they did first? They removed his armor. And then they set it up in the house of their gods, Ashtoreth. Oh, Ashtoreth, that's the queen of heaven, like Mary, like women rule the world. I'll tell you, you desert the battle, you remove your armor, and the world is going to be happy. Look, he doesn't have anything different than I have. And one thing that it says here in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, well, the darts will be unquenched. Just throw the shield of faith off. Take your sword and throw it away. And if you feel like it, go in the kitchen drawer and grab a butter knife. It'll be better for you. You know, and you won't cause so many wounds, and people won't be so angry with you. You know, I was going to a church one time, and I had to encourage, I go, let's go door to door. Yeah, I would love to do that. Okay. He goes, but most of the church does not want to do that. Why? Well, they don't want to offend the community. I don't think we should go out there just to offend people, but I'll tell you this, that should not be our first concern. Listen, do you want the power of God in your life? Do you want the power of God to overcome sin, to do what the Lord would have you to do? Well, don't reject that power. Don't go and, you know, the emerging church, there's a lot of saved people in it. That's going back to form and ritual, and it is dead. You know, you got all these churches singing rock and roll music, and I have heard it say, oh, I felt the Holy Spirit. I don't think that was the Holy Spirit you felt. It's kind of like in Princess Bride? I don't think that word means what you think it means. What? People, they don't. And if you don't receive this book as the words of God, yeah, it was written. It was translated by men. It was written by men. But it is God who preserved it. It was God who inspired it. And if you don't receive it as the words of God, you're going to have a problem in your life. You are forfeiting the power that's available to you. And a lot of times, we refuse the resurrection power that's available to us. And I understand that people are different personalities and different, they have a different makeup. But listen, if you're reticent with the gospel, you are forfeiting the power of God. It is the power of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's the power of God. A lot of times people don't pick up a track and say, this is the power of God. Man, I do love tracks. I love Chick tracks too. Tricks, you know, I wouldn't probably be here if it wasn't for Chick tracks. Because when we were leaving, my wife and I were leaving the charismatic mess, I called up the Chick publications and a lady answered the phone and I said, what kind of church does Jack Chick go to? He said, he goes to a Baptist church. So then I looked up the phone book, started under Baptist, and I'd ask him, are you ecumenical and do you believe the King James Bible is the words of God? And just ask, that's all you got to ask. Anyway, we ended up at Blaine Baptist for about a year, and that was when this church came here, and that church kind of exploded. And I'll tell you this, if you rest in the wisdom of men to help you overcome sin and what you need to overcome, you are forfeiting the power of God. And do not remove your armor. God has given you that armor. He's given you a sword. He's given you a shield. Man, he's given you, your loins should be girt about with the truth. And there are not many people out there, and there are not many Christians out there that are valiant for the truth, Jeremiah 9. And we need to be that. So if you don't want to forfeit the power of God in your life, these are some areas you can work on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.